Good evening, and welcome to the United States of America. Yes, it's what would Brian Bevan say from Viva Las Vegas.
Thinking glasses this morning because I've not got my two screens. Oh, Jesus. I can see.
Ronnie Barker's just appeared.
Yeah, it's like the two Ronnies now.
Ronnie. Right, we ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Howdy. Welcome back, folks, to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with Wire about to gamble in Vegas, where are my two podcasting croupiers? Firstly, he's our statistical shuffler, and he'll be the first person to tell you there is a very easy way to return from a casino with a small fortune. Go there with a large one. Yes, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello, good evening.
And he betted on black, but it came up red. He twisted when he should have stuck, and the only chips he has left are from Mike and Martha's. Yes, it's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
I tell you what, I'm very upbeat for 6:15 in the morning, boys. Now, we should start with wishing Sam happy anniversary. 30 years he's been married to Mrs. Sankey. What's been the secret, Sam? What's the secret?
Keeping apart from each other for as many hours in the day as we can.
I remember that. How are you, Dennis? All good? Looks like you've got a new drink on the go.
Yeah, I'm not sponsored, but it is a Unity Stout by Timothy Taylors and Northern Monk. It's a collaboration, apparently. And it's worth noting for the listener, you've had a difficult week this week, Rob. I've put no effort into the podcast tonight because you were about to send me the launch codes and the football bag that the president carries. Do you want to tell everybody what passed over the last few days?
It was touch and go. I've been in hospital. I was admitted to hospital on Sunday after a harrowing week of trying to pass a kidney stone. I'm pretty sure I could have passed Leon Hayes easier than this bloody kidney stone. Yeah. Just wasn't passing at all. Reminding me of Ian Duane back at Wilderspool. He'd never pass.
It's turning into a bit of a casualty ward, this podcast, isn't it? I mean, if you remember the title of the last one and the discussion that we had, it didn't bode very well.
No. I tell you what, though. I mean, I was on morphine, and I think by about 4 o'clock on Sunday, it had gone, and I was admitted to the ward. I nearly did a Sid James. I nearly put the thermometer in my tea just to stay there for a week. It's bloody lovely. The harrowing thing was, though, that the ward was full of old people in their sort of mid-70s who'd had falls. And I thought, Jesus, this will be us one day, won't it?
You took the average age down below 70,
did
you?
I did. Excellent. Right, let's crack on then. Come on, let's get going because we've got a few things on. Sam's got an anniversary dinner all ready to do, and I've got to get the little lad to his swimming gala. So we've got an hour starting from now. So we'll start with a game home against Catalans. The team was Dufty, Foulis, Lindop, King, Ashton, Williams, Leyland came in to make his debut. Vaughan, Walker and Yates continued in the front row. Fitzgibbon was back alongside Russell and Curry. Interchange bench was Powell, Crowther, Harrison and Philbin. So, would Catalan send Warrington on their travels to America with a win? Here's the highlights.
One play to go, Warrington. Still 25 metres away. Walker dances left. Williams with that right foot just jabs it up there. Rouget's underneath it and he's lost the ball. And it's going to be King who takes advantage and scores the try. Switching it out, untidy. Whitehead gets it on. Now it comes to Laguerre. Laguerre tries to put the big see you later, and he shows some strength as well. Has he touched it down? Regarde l'océan. Voyage, voyage. back where they were desperate to be. Walker's looking left and right. He's going to go to that left-hand side. Williams with a kick. And a demi-shown. And Dufty! Matt Dufty! Danger snuffed out initially, but there's more to come here. It's taken on, and Moore passes away, and Laguerre's bouncing over the line, and we still have a game on our hands.
Final score, Warrington 18, Catalans 12. There were tries for Walker, King and Dufty. Goals, Thulis kicked 3 from 3. Referee was Liam Rush and attendance was 11,000, a healthy 11,157. Now, Sam, I haven't done a timeline for you. I do apologise, but I thought you could sort of just sum up the narrative on this one, really, because it seemed to be from start to finish pretty much the same.
Yes, actually, I would agree with you there. The first 20 minutes was quite uneventful. Mm. I thought the Catalans' penalty that they got for a high shot was soft. I can understand these days why it's given, but it was very soft. And really, we didn't pose a threat to them at all until the second quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dennis, was it apt that Catalans were wearing grey? Because they seem very grey this year. They just had no spike to them at all, did they? You never really thought they were going to run in 20 points at any moment.
Well, they lost their opening game, didn't they? I mean, so that wasn't a really good... And that was at home. Mm. They came over here, and I wasn't expecting such a fight that they put on. I have to say, it's hard to judge how good some teams are going to be. But I have, before we get into the detail, it did seem that they were a big side. So, you know, they were offering a lot of size. But when it came down to the skill level, it was evident that that was lacking a bit.
We could do with one of their big props, I think. Don't know which one, but just one of their big props would help our pack, I think. Oh, Mrs. Sankey's in the background. She's removing a dog. Well, it's just 30 years of this she's had to put up with. Unbelievable.
I know. 30 years of a dog moving it.
Right, well, tackles. Let's start from the bottom and work up. Dufty 4, Powell 5, Ashton 7, Leyland 11, King 12, Harrison 13, Philbin 14, Thulis on 14, Lindott 19, Fitzgibbon on 19, Crowther 21, Williams 26, Walker 28, Yates 31, Curry 32, Vaughan 32 and out in front. Dan Russell on 41, of which 37.5 were flops. So, I mean, we'll start with the defence, Sam. I mean, Curry's still putting the effort in, isn't he? In defence, he still has to work a lot. Yates is working well.
And even though we've only really touched on the first 20 minutes and Catalan's been a bit dull, what they did do was... they promoted the ball, lots of offloads. I noticed when I flicked through it on Sky after the game that the Sky pundits weren't too impressed. They thought too many of the offloads went to ground. Right. But I did feel at the game that part of that was our scramble and our commitment in defence. Mm. We didn't wrap the ball up, but we were always pushing. Whenever the ball went to ground, we were on them. We were straight there, and there is a togetherness, or there does seem a togetherness about this team, this squad that we talked about last year, and a willingness to defend for each other and to scramble. So, albeit we don't appear to be the biggest team in the world, we are putting ourselves about. We are working for each other.
There's a few sort of players that have come back into the side.
Yes.
Powell doesn't seem to be doing too much at the moment, whether he's just taking it a little bit delicately at first, but he doesn't seem as involved as he did last year. Doesn't seem to be getting as many minutes. Or maybe he's just not doing as much and he doesn't seem like he's getting as many minutes. But he's, again, he made no metres at all. He hasn't taken the ball at once. And he made the five tackles, but he probably wasn't on the pitch for that long.
He came on very late. But as Dennis said a couple of moments ago, I feel in the first couple of weeks, it is quite hard to know exactly where each team is.
Yep.
I mean, last week seemed a little disappointing against Huddersfield. I felt we were a bit passive and a bit flat. However, this week, Huddersfield have gone away to Lee and only really lost the game in the last 15 minutes. So on that evidence, Huddersfield are a much better team than they were last year.
Yeah.
Or a much more competitive team defensively, at least. So it's hard to judge exactly where they are.
Because the flip side of that, of course, Hull got thumped at home against Wigan.
They did.
Won quite easily at Catalans. So
yes.
Fitzgibbon didn't quite make the full game, but he got through it. Presumably went off because he was blowing, nothing to do with his shoulder.
He looked impressive while he was on, didn't he? He looked like he wasn't too constricted by his time away. He was putting himself about a bit, getting involved. He probably just went off for fatigue because it's his first real game for quite a long time. So
yeah.
I thought that was good.
It'll be a lot better for the minutes as well.
The meters, Duffy was out on top, 177, Ashton 162, King 82, Russell 79, Williams 73. Down the other end of the pack, Fitzgibbon with just 48, Crowther with 40, Harrison 38. And the two starting props, Yates made 54 and Vaughan made 63. So they're kind of balancing it out.
I was going to say, I think overall, I think there's, consistent. We've got to win again without being outstanding. And I've got two things that I want to highlight. I think you should both comment on. First one, couldn't handle the offloads. Even after half time, that was evident. Now, why do you think that is, Rob? What would you say that the reason?
That's just Catalan's game, isn't it? They don't seem to have much in the halves this year. Very despondent when going forward. So clearly the plan was just to try and offload as much as they could, like the Harlem Globetrotters, and they did. I think it's very hard to stop offloads. If that's your intention, if you're told as a team, let's try and offload it as much as we can, I don't think it matters too much how big the opposition are. They're still going to struggle to keep all the balls flipping out.
Overall, it just felt like we didn't make any metres. It just didn't look like we made an impact whatsoever. So, Sam, have you got any statistics on that?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, Dennis, just on the statistics, it's hard to see or understand how we won that game. They carried the ball more than us. They made more metres ball in hand than we did. They missed fewer tackles. They made more tackle busts. They made more post-contact metres. In fact, the only way really, well, they played the ball in our 20 more often. And the only reason really that you could see that we won were their errors were greater than ours. You know, when you look at it, again, without looking at the numbers, at the ground, I felt like just like last week, or just like the week before, for 15 or 20 minutes straight after half time, we upped our game and the game was won there, really. That's what it felt like at the ground anyway. But we never really put them to bed. And then they scored with, 5 or 6 minutes to go and just made it a little nervous at the end. But we always felt in control. But the statistics don't suggest that.
Leyland.
Yes.
Can't tackle, can he? I've watched him twice now. Watched him when he played for London against Warrington. He had a lame attempt at a tackle before he went off. And Wilkin pointed it out at half time. It's not the fact that he's not putting the effort in. People are raving about him. He's as slow as anything. He's flat footed. He's got no turn of pace and he can't tackle. I don't, you know, oh, he can kick a ball. Great.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little on the fence this week.
Is it a little fence so he can get over?
It is a little fence. I wanted to see him play. And in truth, I was expecting a bit more from him. Mm. We'll start with the real positive. His kicking was, without a doubt, more threatening at the game than it was the previous week with both Williams and with Ratchford. Mm. So that's the positive out of the way. On the negative side, well, I don't really think his tackling was that bad. That one miss for their first try aside, I mean, that did stand out, but that's not much different to we've seen other players when they've been one-on-one.
Other players who haven't also won a Super League.
No, I'd agree with that, Rob. I agree with that. But I do want to see him, assuming he plays this weekend or the weekend after, I would want to see more from him with the ball in hand and more from him in an attacking sense, because we see Dufty make errors like that, but Dufty brings an awful lot on the attack side. So if he's going to be a little bit weak defensively, we want to see him bringing something going forward.
I think I'll have to dig out the old British Leyland Cars jingles for next week make an appropriate soundbite, I think.
Mm.
You can't expect to win Super League missing tackles like that. If we want to be mediocre for another year, fine, but he's not top-notch. He's not
I suppose he did excel on that Whitehaven pitch, if you remember. Oh. You know, that nice, slow, deep mud pitch. But when you look at the overall score in the past 2 weeks, defensively, you know, we're not doing too well, are we? I think we were pretty spot on last year, where it was like, you know, averaging quite a low value of tries that we let in, but we've let a couple of tries in. The only thing that separated us every time is probably a bit of brilliance from like Williams or Dufty that he's separating us from the teams at the moment.
What's happened to Harrison since he's aged 35 years over the close season?
He's shaved his head.
Doesn't seem to be the forward he was, does he? He doesn't seem to be making many metres. He doesn't look anywhere near as aggressive anymore. Now he's, I don't know, he looks frail. He looks like a few of the people on the ward that I had on Sunday evening.
That is the first time we've won the home match at the Halliwell Jones against Catalans in 4 years. And also, we touched last week when we were talking about the money the directors had put in, and I said, I know we sometimes were a bit critical about not enough sausage and too much. What's the phrase, Rob? Too much.
I think he's going down. Help him, Rob. Help him.
There was no. I wasn't on the dementia ward. I can't really help him.
He's sticking his sausage in somewhere.
I'm a bit worried also about to move on to the news round section and he's just said the word touched, but never mind, carry on.
I flinched.
The sizzle around Luke Littler and all that thing, it was the second best.
He definitely had the sausage.
Home crowd against Catalans for all the time we've been at HJ. And last year, our first home game, we only got 9,000. 2 years ago, we got slightly smaller crowd against Leeds, 11,000. And the year before that, we only got 8,000 against Castleford. The year before that, it was COVID year. So,
what do you think the French made of Luke Littler? Because I've never heard of a French darts player.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, there is a Belgian one knocking about. That's quite close.
Yeah, they're doing it there, aren't they? But they're not really doing it there.
Flanders. Do you think Asterix? Do you think there was a darts player in Asterix or something like that?
I don't know. If we just went to Catalans and there was some, you know, local French sport, we'd all be like, "Who the fuck is he? What's he doing?" Anyway, Round two Super League results. Wakefield 12, Hull KR 14. Oh, I need to send Daryl a text just saying commiserations, don't I? Get that off in a second.
He was close, wasn't he?
Hull 4, Wigan 46. Salford 6, Leeds 32. Castleford 6, Saints 46. And Lee 24, Huddersfield 10. So we've touched on a couple of those results already. You wrote Leeds off last week, Dennis, but they came out. Yes. Did Salford put a team out who played for under-11s this week, or did they put actual team out?
No, they did. They did put their full or almost full team out. Their restrictions have been lifted. I suspect, because I've not followed their pre-season games, I suspect that was the first match.
I need to do an unusual caveat at this point.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
When I said about Leeds, I thought Rowan Smith was still the coach, and that's why I said he wouldn't last long. And then you all reminded me it was Brad Arthur. I went, oh, shit, yeah, he's already done that.
Oh, dear. Is Kevin Tamati still at Salford, Dennis? Is he still the coach at Salford?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Actually, Paul Rowley was in the HJ or the Luke Littler on Friday.
Looking who's coming his way next week and next year, isn't it? They always end up at Salford. Which forward's underperforming that I can get a bit more out of? Yeah.
Before that, John Craven's news round.
Vice President of the Rugby League, Danica Prim, has allegedly been accused of sexually touching a woman at Horsforth Cricket Club in Leeds on the 22nd of July 2022. The 40-year-old appeared before magistrates last Thursday and is due to appear before Leeds Crown Court on the 13th of March. No pleas were entered during the previous hearing. Miss Prim of Keighley played in the Women's Super League for Bradford Bulls and the Leeds Rhinos and has appeared as a Rugby League pundit for Channel 4, the BBC and Sky. A spokesman at the RFL said Miss Prim would voluntarily stand down from her role as vice president while legal proceedings took place. Damning. Damning.
I think, whilst I do not know any more details than that, I think it's correct that she stands down while proceedings take place.
You know what? Nothing. She's not been found guilty of anything. This is just out there. So you can't really say anything. She might be completely innocent at this stage.
It's damning. Damning.
Okay.
Sam Burgess remains confident. He will be in Las Vegas for the weekend. Burgess travelled to the US Embassy in London last Thursday in an attempt to expedite his visa approval. Here's what he had to say following Catalan's game when questioned by Sky's Jenna Brooks.
You know, we're looking forward to the week now. We can talk about Vegas now. You know, I'm less grumpy than I was earlier before, Jenna. So, it's obviously much nicer going with a couple of wins. We'll really have to break that one down tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow, and then we jump on a flight on Sunday. So it's going to be a really enjoyable week for everyone, and I really want to soak it up and, you know, take some out of the experience, and then it's about getting a performance over there on next Saturday.
Okay, you said I could ask about Vegas. So what is the current situation at the minute, Sam?
At the moment, obviously, my visa application's in. It's with the US Border Control at the moment, and we just, you know, I've thanked everyone at the US Embassy down in London the last couple of days and put a lot of work into it, and, you know, I respect the process. And, you know, it's just down to them and a bit of time, so... you know, we'll just wait and see how it goes over the next 24 hours, 48 hours.
Are you confident it'll pass?
Well, I'm the optimist, so I'll get to Vegas. I'll get there just when it is, that's all I think.
Sam Burgess, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Great, thank you. See you in Vegas.
Wouldn't be Warrington, would it? There wasn't some kind of little hiccup. No. That's just the way things are.
So, here's the thing. Is there an elephant in the changing room here? Why can't you get a visa?
He has got an offence for driving, I think he did plead guilty for one that related to drugs and driving. But he wasn't, he didn't get a criminal record from it. But you know, I've been in the industry for 25 years, relocation industry, moving people to America. You know, I was telling my dad the other day, I must have moved over 3,500 people in the 25 years to the US. I'd see people every second day. And I'd deal with human resources and Fragaman, which was the immigration agent. And it's just a case of planning. You know, it was, you know, I would go and see people and I'd say, well, when's your start date in Detroit or when are you arriving in LA? And they'd say, well, it's all dependent on the visa. But they always had a date they needed to be there for. This was in reference to them actually relocation services and getting the family settled. They just haven't given it enough time. Or they've known from day one that he probably wasn't going to go and they've not made it to make a big thing of it. And they're kind of just trying to now make a thing of it now. But the planning hasn't been there. I noticed last year, I think there were six players with criminal records that went from the NRL. All of them made it there because they all started the visa application process well in advance to get them there. And this year there's four with criminal records that are all on planes and have arrived over in the US.
It's just the absence of the detail that annoyed me. Because, like, they didn't actually say, well, why didn't you get a visa like everybody else? And I know it's more common knowledge over in Australia because of the history, but nobody wanted to talk about that element of it. And that's
well,
why
it's
it
funny.
A bit of an issue.
It's funny because it's not been the same here. Yesterday, I was in Double Bay. I was driving to Rose Bay, which is in the eastern suburbs. I nearly drove back to take a picture of it. But you know, the bus stops and they have the advertising on the advertising.
Yeah.
And I'm driving along, and on the left, there's Sam Burgess, big headline, you know, can't go. And I didn't see it. I'd driven past before and I was like, oh, shall I pull over and go and see what it says? But as we spoke about him the other week, it's a very different story here compared to there. There he's under the radar. Everyone's been nice to him. The local press don't like digging too much because they don't want to miss their appointment with the Warrington Wolves the following Thursday. The only one who seems to be a little bit pushy over there is that John Davidson, and he's been banned from all the grounds.
Has he?
Yeah, he's virtually banned from every ground because he's asked the question. Watching it last night on the TV, you know, there was the two guys from Canberra that have had an altercation in the lift.
Yes, yeah.
You see the like the reporters in the face asking him all the hard questions, which Jenna Brooks does to some point. But I would have liked to have seen Carl Fitzpatrick come on and one of the reporters say, so, did you not give it enough time, Carl, to get his visa by any chance? But they never ask. They never ask it. I don't get it.
No, no.
I think, Joe, just one thing, Robert, because we went on to more serious misdemeanors when you were talking about the guy at Canberra. We're not saying that Burgess has done anything like this. It's a couple of low level Australian tickets and stuff like that, isn't it? And it's probably just, as you're right, probably just not started it early enough to then have his interview, for them to then take normally a few weeks to reply to you. And now because it's tight, we're probably asking a few favours of the embassy to try and turn it round in a couple of weeks, whereas normally they might take 6 weeks. We don't know, but that's what we're assuming.
It's an absolute administrational clusterfuck up at Warrington Wolves.
It is, and it's all unnecessary. And the annoying thing, Sam, is that you've already mentioned about what you saw at the players and the game, is that there's that willingness and the unity, or not plugging the beer again, and that's created by having Sam Burgess there, and all of a sudden he isn't going to be there for a build-up of one of the biggest games of the year.
Well, it's just set up nicely for him to fly in and touch down on the morning of the game, rush to the ground, turn up just as they're all getting changed to give a Churchillian speech for us to steamroll a Wigan. I'm still going to bet on Wigan when we get to that point, though.
With this week marking the 40th anniversary of my beloved EastEnders, I got thinking about some of the soapiest stories that have happened in the world of the Warrington Wolves over the years. Well, the big event in Walford for the 40th was a fire at the Queen Vic, and this club have been no stranger to flames themselves. On the 29th of April 1982, the entirety of the main stand at Wildersbowl was burned to the ground within 20 minutes after an arson attack. And even when we're moving to the Halliwell Jones in 2004, there was still a fire around the corner when a blaze started in the female toilets on the concourse as the stadium hosted the Championship Grand Final between Featherstone and Halifax. One EastEnders character died this week after being struck by a falling piece of rubble, and this reminded me of a very recent event in the game between Wyatt and Catalans in March 2024. After Josh Thewis kicked a penalty goal, the ball hit a speaker on the roof of the stadium, dislodged it, and the speaker subsequently fell to the floor and smashed, miraculously not hitting any of the fans sat underneath. We've also seen the brief returns of EastEnders icons Grant Mitchell and Angie Watts for the big week, and returning cast is something that Wyatt have been an exponent of too. Matty Russell left in 2018 before returning 5 years later. Brad Dwyer returned to the club in 2024 but never made a single appearance, while Thomas McKayley left in early 2023 and was back at Wyatt less than 6 months after. Soap sceptics may point to the lack of reality or credibility in some of the storylines, but there's been events at Wyatt that have pushed the boundaries of credulity. Signing Greg Inglis, one of the most iconic names in the sport, only for him to take months to get fit, play 3 games and then never be seen again, was a story for the ages. And what about 2002, when Steve Anderson took the decision to sack himself as coach and focus instead on his performance role as director, before resigning from that position too just 3 weeks later? Twisty. But the head coach not being able to travel to the most high profile game in the club's recent history would surely be the biggest duff duff moment of them all.
Well, Daniel with EastEnders. I didn't know he was an EastEnders fan. That really took me back. Yeah. Really took me back. I have come up with my EastEnders team, if you want to hear it. I've done a little bit of homework. Fullback. Fullback, I've gone for Lofty. Right wing, Mark Fowler. Right centre, Ian Beale. Left centre, Alfie Moon. And on the left wing, I've gone for Sonia. I think that's quite not bad. Halfbacks, you need chatter amongst your halfbacks. So I've gone for Ethel Skinner and Dot Cotton. In the props, I've gone Pete Bill and Pat Wicks as my props. I've gone Pat Wicks as the prop, not Pat Butcher. I preferred her in her youth when she was married to.
Oh.
Yeah. A bit more mobile. Hooker, Sharon Watts. Second row, the Mitchell brothers. And loose forward, Wixie. Put Wixie in there. Interchange bench, I've gone Arthur Fowler before he stole the Christmas Club money, because I thought if we go and play in America, that could become an issue with his visa.
It could.
Frank Butcher. And then just to spice things up, my last two on the bench, I've gone Cindy and Nick Cotton, which I think is quite...
Oh, Nick Cotton.
Coach Dirty Den, physio Dr. Leg, and mascot Wellard.
Very good.
What I like about that is I've not watched EastEnders in 20 years and I recognised all of those characters.
Yeah. They were all in the first three seasons.
Yeah, you have to be there. The other thing about Daniel's thing that he mentioned, I mean, it's pretty depressing, fires, rubble and what have you. You know, he said it was an arson attack on Wildersbowl. Nobody was ever convicted, and there was nothing written about the proof of what was how it started. So, I'm not saying that it was.
Did nobody ask the hard question? Is that what
nobody asked the bloody hard question? Do you know how it was started, Rob? Because you're a shareholder.
I don't, but it's things were different because I was in the stand. I think if I remember rightly, it burnt down after the game. And remember the harrowing scenes at Bradford. You remember when Bradford's stand went up?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was a tinderbox at Wilderspool. So I was in that stand watching the game before it went up. But never really, it was never really commented on the next day that, you know, we just escaped, you know, we just dodged a bullet there. What were we talking about? EastEnders?
No, yeah. See, that's what it does, EastEnders. It's depressing.
Do you remember when Arthur started rocking when he had his breakdown?
Is that going to be us in season 17?
What do you mean, season 7? About season 7?
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a
hold. Oh, well, Sam. Oh, here we are. Oh, Las Vegas, the land of glitz, glamour, and a profound lack of natural daylight.
They say what happens in Vegas, Walter, stays in Vegas.
Let's hope it doesn't include the boys' security footage. You know, from last night when they were hanging out the back of Taco Bell.
I know. What that young escort girl did with that guacamole, it'll take weeks until Dan Russell will be able to pay the ball properly again.
Now, dears, let's focus. This is a professional recording session. We're here to lay down some tracks, not lay down some bets.
Oh, come on, Madam Boyd. How can you resist the call of fruit machines? The lights are brighter than a Steve Price motivational team talk.
Yes, dear, but they did end up playing the craps table.
Oh, yes, that's very true, Madam Boyd. Anyway, Samuel, I'm still trying to get over the fact that there's more Elvis impersonators here in Vegas than Warrington have had at attempting to win the Super League.
Did you see the one down in the hotel casino, Ralphie? He looked like he'd eaten more cheeseburgers than the great man himself.
No, Samuel. I'm afraid that was just Professor Broomhead playing blackjack in his evil Knievel jumpsuit.
That reminds me, Ralpho. I really need to work on my coaching poker face.
Yes, it's about as convincing as a Super League referee's decision-making.
Excuse me, my darlings, the studio waits. I've arranged for an authentic Vegas Elvis to perform backing vocals.
Backing vocals? Oh, tackle sacks. Oh, is this going to be another Dufty Unplugged situation?
Don't worry, Ralphie. This Elvis actually has talent.
Oh, thank goodness, Samuel. I'd hate to think we'd flown all this way just to listen to some pisshead belting out Jailhouse Rock like it's karaoke night at the Rodner.
Let's make something the King would be proud of.
Oh, the only thing Toby's proud of is when he won a Super League medal with the Pie Eaters. Right then, I'm just off to cruise the Vegas Strip in search of a Tanya Arnaldo lookalike. Oh, with a bit of luck, I'll get to play a slot machine.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva!
not totally sure I can comment on this one.
Excellent.
Other than,
damning.
Other than, Evel Knievel. That, yes. That brought back some memories.
Did you used to have one of them?
Yes, that you wound up and then let go.
They never did an Eddie Kidd, did they? Remember an Eddie Kidd? He was like, he was the equivalent, wasn't he, of Knievel, Eddie Kidd.
Is that a bit like a comparison of the NRL and Super League, though? Like, NRL's Evel Knievel. Mm.
We had Eddie Kidd. I think Eddie Kidd jumped further. Right in, did Eddie Kidd jump further than Evel Knievel? I think he did.
Mm. And is it just a myth that either one of them, I'm not sure which one, broke about 80 bones in the body across 10 years.
That was Evel Knievel. There was one on Dickie Davis on ITV Sport at Wembley. Some bloke tried to jump over about 30 buses and nearly killed himself live on television with 80,000 kids.
Here we go again. Jesus.
It was a shame. We wrote that and recorded it about 4 weeks ago. What we should have done was record it last night, Dennis, and we could have had Burgess down a long distance telephone.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
We would have done, but you were in hospital.
Oh, that's true.
So we didn't manage to get that far.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Tackle sacks. Go.
Well, I've got to cut it down. I've been told by the producer that I've got to cut it down this week because Mr. London might pass another fucking whatever. What was it? Stone. So I'm just going to stick to the scores this week. And because we've had our first entry onto the Tackle Sag scoring, and that goes to... Toby King.
Yes,
because if you notice, the first try this week against Catalan, I haven't seen him jump up with gust and endeavour to try and catch the ball in the air. He's been nowhere near it this year so far. And then even that try, he got it and then made an extra half a metre when he was in the in-goal area. He sort of stood back up, thought, oh, run it behind the sticks, and then immediately fell down. That was annoying. But his defensive play has been absolutely shocking. Both tries, if you look at it, that Catalan scored, he shot out the line. Rob mentioned it last week. He came out the line dancing like an airy fairy or whatever he described. That annoyed me. And that was it. He got 2 points. Sloppy seconds, 2 points, he's on the board. And as far as the SAG watch this week, I've got Ollie Leyland on there. And I don't think we need to pass comment any more than that from what Rob has already described. So what do you think, lads? Do you agree with those points that have been allocated, or would you add more or less?
Can I just point out that all fairies are not airy? Thank you.
Right. Okay, only if they're in your airing cupboard.
I think you're slightly harsh on Toby King, but a fair comment that putting Leyland on watch, fair comment.
Is it a small watch, like that. A digital watch, little watch? I didn't see any nurses. You know those little watches that nurses used to wear on their breasts?
Oh, yeah. On the breasts, specifically, was it? Okay.
Men have breasts. Men have breasts, Dennis.
Yeah, well, you certainly do. You've not got a top on tonight. Look at it. Jesus.
I was having a lovely sleep in that hospital. He kept waking me up every 2 hours to take my blood pressure. It's quite annoying.
Sam, we should just be thankful that he's not mentioned American Werewolf in London and Jenny Agutter coming in. And
did think of that. You know, did think of that. It wasn't a nurse. It was more the doctor, Emily. She was from very well-to-do English girl. Oh, wasn't Emily was in Bagpuss, wasn't she?
Let's move on because, you know, we don't want to be... Yeah.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the
afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
OK, we're off to the state of Nevada, where Wire will take on the Pietas at the Allegiant Stadium. Las Vegas, UK kickoff time is Saturday, 9:30 p.m. The game will be followed by Canberra versus the New Zealand Warriors, a women's test match between Australia and England, and finally, Penrith versus Cronulla. Before we place our bets, here's Hal.
Well, look who the cat's dragged in. What's that? You want help from me to process Big Sam's visa? Honestly, what an absolute cluster wank. You've had 12 months to get that sodding application in. But it wouldn't be Warrington, would it, without an incompetent administrational fuck-up. I haven't seen such utter nonsense since I watched Andy McDowell and Gerard Depardieu in the movie Green Card. And we all know what's happened to that big nose groper. He's not even from Keighley. All you need now is for Toby King to forget his passport again. Visa Las Vegas.
He's bitter, isn't
he? He's very moody these days, Hal, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's that. I mean, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of people criticised his predictions last year. Yeah. I think he's taken offence to that. Mm. And clearly there's been a lot of chat GPT going on, so he's just not happy.
And I don't think he's ever quite been the same since he spent that road trip with Dennis in the camper van.
No. That's true. Will he be coming to Australia, Dennis, when you come out to Australia? Will Hal be coming?
Well, I could do it. I'd have to apply for his visa first, so I might just leave it till the day before.
Now, we could have done with Hal doing the calculations for the betting, because I've had an administrational cluster fuck-up as well. There's me boasting that Sankey's winning, and then I ran it back through, and I'm like, whoa, what have I done here? I've added the bet onto the win. I doubled up. So the actual totals at the moment, you're both in the red, boys. Dennis is on £95.21. Sam's on £97.45. And I'm just out in front with my bold £30 on Wire last week, giving me a win of £5.45. I'm on £104.85.
Well done.
Right. Well, I'll go first. So it's hardly worth betting on Wigan. They're that far out favourites. There's some obscene, I don't know what are they? I can't remember what they were, like 18 to 1 on or something? I don't know, something ridiculous.
They weren't that much. But yes, they were good favourites.
I can't bet against Warrington when it comes to playing Wigan. So I will bet Wire for a win, but I'm only going to bet 50p on the Wire win. But I will have £5. Oh, hang on, how much am I up? No, I'll have £4. On Toby King scoring the first try of the game.
Because
Dennis has got him on SAG watch, so he's definitely going to score first. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Dennis?
So I will put... what am I going to do? Sorry, I'm going to put £5 on a Wigan win.
Oh, that'll get you a return of about 20 pence. Yeah, excellent.
I know. It's pointless, isn't it? No, I'll tell you what, I'll do that. I'll change my thing. I'll do £1 on Wigan win, and I'll put £5 on Dan Russell to score a try first.
Jesus, every week, Dan Russell. It's not going to happen.
It is.
When it eventually does... when eventually does, if he's still got some money left, he's going to come in big time, isn't he?
Exactly.
Right, Mr. Sankey, what are we going for?
I've found the odds. So Wigan 11-4 on.
Oh.
So broadly, very close to 3-1 on. Mm. And Warrington 23-10. I've never seen those odds. Yeah, so 2-1 against.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going to go with £2 Warrington, just because of the odds.
Yes.
And I'm going to offset it with £2 Bevan French first try scorer.
No, it's first Warrington try scorer. We're not bringing in the other opposition.
You've just said it's the first try scorer of the match.
Oh, it's changed. Right.
I tell you what, okay.
No, right. No, you can have that. It's anniversary for your anniversary. We can't upset you. Okay. £2 on Bevan French. Right. Excellent. I can't believe he's betting on Wigan to score. He's going to cheer when Bevan French scores, Dennis.
I know. That's the worst thing about it. Yeah.
He'll be about 20 to 1 on anyway. What are the odds on Bevan French scoring the first round?
Well, it will like be an episode of Kez next week because you just don't put it on. If anybody remembers that lovely film. Yeah.
I did a combined Wigan and Warrington team just to sort of see where the strengths are. I've gone fullback Field. I think he just edges it over Dufty. Wingers, I've gone French and Ashton. Centres, one each. You can pick whoever you want in the centres. I don't think there's much difference between all four centres. Mm-hmm. Halves, I've gone Williams and Smith. Props, I've gone Thompson and Vaughan. And the hooker, I've gone Walker. So when you get to that point, it's an even keel. It's five each. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gone Field as the fullback, but hooker's Walker, so it balances out. But 11, 12 and 13, I've gone all Wigan. December, Farrell, Ellis. I think that's where we let ourselves down in this game.
No, I don't know about Farrell.
Oh, I'd put, at the moment, I'd put him in ahead. I wouldn't fit. I mean, Fitzgibbon's a good player, but he's still finding his feet. But Farrell's just... I know he's 48, but he just does it every week. He goes looking for the ball. His meters are good. He scores tries. So I think 11, 12 and 13 are our weaknesses. And also the fact their coach will be there, which will...
I can understand what you're saying about the back row and lock there, Rob. I understand that completely. I think I'd go Dufty, not... because of what Field can do, but because Dufty over 2 years has done it more often. Mm. That's the only reason in Super League. That's the only reason I'd go there. But I can understand your thinking on that back three, definitely.
Anything else, boys? Anything we've got to add? Or where are we going to be watching it? You got your Sky set up, Dennis?
I think so. I presume it would be on normal Sky, won't it, Sam? Or are you recording it? Are you taping it?
It's on proper Sky. Proper should be able to. Sky. I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, we shared an article about earlier in the week, or maybe last week, about what one or two clubs, and of them, Lee, Warrington and Wigan, are doing to try and promote themselves. And some people find it a bit cringy, and some people think it's brilliant. The fact is, we're getting lots of column inches, and I'm quite looking forward to this. Lots of people are going. It's been bought into. I just hope the game is good. I'm going to enjoy it.
What's the go getting to LA, Las Vegas from Warrington? They all seem to be getting a train to London. Is there no flight to LA from Manchester?
Direct flight from Heathrow is your cheaper option.
You can fly from Manchester if you wanted to.
Yeah, but you would have to change anyway. So you... if you might as well get straight to Heathrow. I've seen flights as inexpensive as £600, and I've seen them at £1,300 and £1,400. This is economy.
Is the game being played on an artificial pitch or a real, like, grass?
No. Oh, you've got me. I'm fairly sure it's artificial, but it's narrow. It's definitely a narrow pitch.
When we played in Milwaukee, it was incredibly narrow. I've not really watched any of the games that's been on, the NRL games that have played before. So,
it's a lot of games to play on a pitch that's got grass. It'd just be churned up by the last game, wouldn't it? So, artificial pitch.
Just going to look that up for you. It's like Tottenham. It's a movable pitch.
Oh. Okay, let's just have our predictions then before we round this up. What are we going for? I'm going to go Wigan 28, Warrington 10.
I don't see it being too dissimilar. I think Wigan by 22 points.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
Wigan by 10.
10, okay. Right then, that's it. Please become a patron, the link to which you can find in the description to this pod. Please also don't forget to subscribe. So until we return, it's a Visa Las Vegas from Sam.
All the best.
A little less conversation and a little more action from Dennis.
But I'm seeing you.
And it's a thank you very much from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
These are Las Vegas. Have you actually sound that? Have you sold that headline to the Sydney Herald yet?
We've put it out there. It'll only be a matter of time before that appears.
Oh, no. Oh. A little less conversation.
Night after night, watching the wheel go round. Hey, Las Vegas, the devil gave us to you. One of these days, I'm gonna burn you down. One black Sunday, I came to visit you, just for a day to pass some time away and shoot again.